Good afternoon. Can you hear me okay? Great. My name is Nagender Vedula. I'm a group program manager in the System Center product team. By way of what I've been doing at Microsoft, I've been here about 15 years in various roles in the server and tools business. And my most recent work is in the System Center team. So I'd like to talk to you about what we have in System Center 2012 R2 that was announced this morning in the keynote and in the foundation sessions. And by way of agenda, I do want to sort of set the stage for an overview of what's in 2012 in terms of the new innovations that we're making in System Center 2012 R2. And we'll talk about the products from a broad perspective of all the products that are in the suite. And then I'll transition and talk a lot about what we're doing in terms of the integrated innovation that we're building and all the scenarios that come to life as a result of this joining of the foundational elements in Windows Server and System Center, as well as the Windows Azure pack also that was announced today. So the first part of my presentation is going to be what we have in terms of new innovation that we've done, and the second part is all about what we're doing in terms of scenarios for the Cloud OS. Does that make sense? All right. In terms of functionality, I want to talk about it in terms of a broad scenario and what kind of things can come to life as a result of the System Center suite of products. So I want to introduce the notion of an application owner on one side, where they're more focused on the business requirements, and then there's process and a set of tools at the infrastructure level that you need to put in place so that you can deploy all these solutions on the infrastructure. So for example, let's say we wanted to build a SharePoint solution. The application owner would need to specify some things at the broad level of what are the things that are required in this three-tiered application. And these could be what are the roles that are participating in this, what are the specific business requirements that need to be satiated as a part of the solution, all the other things that from a business application owner's perspective. And they want to do this through a self-service portal that they have access to where they can specify all these requirements. And these will persist themselves into what we term as a service model. And then as you go through the process of defining the bindings, et cetera, that need to be made into the service model, you have a set of automation tasks that you would need to do. You have a set of compliance requirements that you need to meet. You have approvals, et cetera, that you need to actually specify in terms of how this application is going to live. At that stage, you want to be able to specify the way in which this application is going to get deployed, the way it'll get configured, the way current existing services need to migrate, and at the end of the day, they need to be deployed atop of a physical infrastructure, a virtual infrastructure, or set up as a service in a typical infrastructure as a service offering. At the end of the day, the service provider provides the administrative functionalities to actually maintain, manage, as well as deploy onto the physical fabric and set up the virtualization fabric and so on as a part of the solution. Once it's set into operation and is running, you need to be able to inventory it, monitor it, protect it, and do all the kinds of things that you would do from not just an infrastructure operational perspective, but an application health perspective as well. And these could be deployed, as you saw in the morning, when we talk about this cloud operating system, it matters not whether these services are deployed on your private cloud, on a hosted cloud, or as well as an Azure cloud. So the System Center suite of products that we have in 2012 R2 address all aspects of this application lifecycle. You have app controller, you have service manager that take care of the self-service portal experience, orchestration, and a new facility called service provider framework that we built in 2012, SP1, for the process automation and IT service management areas, virtual machine manager, which is this fabric management facility that we have in System Center that takes care of deploying, that takes care of configuring, that takes care of all of the virtualization fabric, operations manager for operating this fabric and monitoring it both from a infrastructure operational health perspective as well as an application health perspective, as well as data protection manager, and then you have System Center configuration manager for managing the software. I just want to walk you through a little bit of the history that's gone on in the last year and a half to 2 years. We announced System Center 2012 in April of 2012, January to April. Windows Server released in September 2012 with deep enterprise-scale virtualization, high-performance cloud storage, software-defined networking, a whole range of functionality. And then we released System Center 2012 SP1 in very rapid order and got that out at the end of last year, the beginning of this year, and with deep multi-tenant infrastructure management support, we introduced this notion of a service provider framework as well as what we called Windows Azure services for Windows Server. And we also added functionality that gave a multi-tenant aware System Center stack in SP1. And we also added a functionality called Global Service Monitor, which was all about points of presence around the world that could help inject synthetic transactions to your applications as an Azure service that you could monitor, manage, et cetera, from. So we are super excited today to say that this rapid momentum that we've had in the last year and a half to 2 years continues with our announcing the preview release of both System Center as well as Windows Server and the Windows Azure Pack that was announced today. So as you can see, we've been on a rapid cadence of releases, and the big thing from today is that Windows Server as well as System Center as well as the Azure Pack are all SIM released at the same time. I'm not going to belabor this slide too long, but you've seen it in multiple presentations if you've attended the keynote and some of the foundation sessions. But at the heart of it is all this capability that you see from a development, management, data, identity, virtualization standpoint that we believe should remain consistent irrespective of which cloud you are specifically interested in. Whether you're in the private cloud, whether you're in a hosted cloud, or you're in the public Azure cloud, this entire Microsoft Federation of clouds that we have, we should whatever you build should be able to run across any of those things or mix and match of those different clouds. So let me get to the specific investments that we made in 2012 R2. From a broad perspective, I can look at that diagram that we just saw and say there's capabilities that are specific to infrastructure provisioning, consumer self-service, infrastructure monitoring, application monitoring, as well as IT service management. This is a overview session, so I'm going to paint over a lot of these areas, but there's so many different sessions that are there in TechEd this year that go in deeply into the investments that we're making in each of the specific products of System Center that you should go and attend at TechEd this year. Make sense so far? On the infrastructure provisioning side, what are we talking about? What do the IT departments really demand? They say we want to effectively manage virtual environments at scale. We want drastic simplicity in what we have to do. We want to deliver efficient services across our entire customer base and have a set of tools that are consistent for the purpose that they serve, whether they're on-premise or tools for the cloud. So what's System Center doing for infrastructure provisioning? There's lots of support in Windows Server 2012 in terms of robust virtualization management support, inclusive of support for Linux, dynamic VHD resizing, dynamic memory changes for virtual machines, dynamic memory for Linux, snapshot of running virtual VM. We also added in Virtual Machine Manager synthetic fiber channel support in the guest, all under the category of managing virtual environments at scale. To simplify how you deploy this infrastructure, we're also doing things that make it radically simple for you to take the System Center suite of components and, you know, very easily provision them onto your infrastructure in terms of service templates, runbooks that do post-installation configuration, all these kind of things that make it easy for you to install and then get up and running with your private cloud infrastructure as soon as possible. We built a whole range of functionality in this release with respect to multi-tenant cloud infrastructure support. Site-to-site connectivity, bringing your own IP to a service provider network, using NVGRE gateway, et cetera, that exists in Windows Server. This is all added support inside Virtual Machine Manager. We've also cloud-enabled the orchestration capability that we have in System Center to a PowerShell-based automation engine that can run inside your infrastructure. And then we've also created an integration pack for Orchestrator that allows you to directly talk and manage Windows Azure. I'll just delve quickly deep into each one of these broad areas. If you look at the diagram on the right-hand side, you see that we've built this System Center API called the Service Provider Foundation into System Center 2012 R2. We've also, so this has the ability of acting as this RESTful layer that sits on top of the System Center suite of components. And it provides a whole range of supports for stamp management, for user management, and then it takes care of all the things that need to be done in the underlying infrastructure inside Virtual Machine Manager. It also, we've got the service management automation, which is PowerShell based, and we've also integrated the ability to monitor the usage information of the underlying infrastructure so that you can make it available when you want to do billing, et cetera, for your tenants. And all of that is encapsulated inside this service provider portal that is accessible to tenants of the cloud stack, as well as an administrative portal that gives you access, the ability to administer this whole infrastructure. You'll hear a lot more and see more of that in this talk. We'll do some demos as well. The automation engine is PowerShell based. It's scalable. It allows you to take these design time artifacts called runbooks, and these PowerShell workflows are able to run on a schedule. And you can call into these runbooks. You can associate multiple runbooks together. And it gives you a lot of flexibility in terms of the administrator that needs to coordinate activities of your infrastructure in an automated manner. Without having the rigmarole of doing it over and over again, you can capture all these discrete activities into a PowerShell workflow, and then we run that. And we give you the ability to administer that, to provision that, all within this Azure consistent interface that we've built. And this engine can tie in your infrastructure into other line of business application systems, et cetera, that you may want to integrate with as a part of your day-to-day operations that you do in terms of managing this cloud infrastructure. We talked a little bit about this. We have the ability to monitor the infrastructure as well as capture what specific assets of compute, virtual machine, compute, storage, network utilization that your tenants are using of the cloud stack, and report that with the BI stack that we have inside Excel, inside, and we have all this usage information that you can tie in to your other billing systems, et cetera. With respect to virtual network support, a couple of things on this slide. We have this OMI-based plugin that we built into Virtual Machine Manager that gives you the ability to manage top-of-rack switches and their configuration right from the administration in Virtual Machine Manager. That, and also we've built on top of the software-defined networking capabilities that we have in Windows and the NVGRE gateway to set up our multi-tenant VPN gateway and establish site-to-site connectivity so that you as a tenant can bring your own IP address space to that of the service provider and then just treat it as a natural extension of what you have in your private cloud to the hosted cloud. In terms of consumer self-service, so we went over the infrastructure provisioning aspect. In terms of consumer self-service, we want to give these app controllers, these application owners, an empowerment while still keeping IT as the controlling authority. And what have we delivered here? Additional service templates for different types of applications, a scalable multi-VM tenant services that are consistent with Azure. Again, you'll see that in the demos that we're going to show you today. So a key area that we invested in that allows tenants and application owners to empower them with some flexibility is this VHDs for first-party workloads like SharePoint, et cetera. VHDs for Windows and Linux, all from a self-service aspect for the tenant user. And they can take these and then deploy them from within a self-service portal. And Mark Umeno is going to come up and show us a demo of that a little later. So we've also added capabilities to scale application tiers via automation and integration. With respect to complex, robust workflows that you can perform with Orchestrator and PowerShell, we've added a Windows Azure integration pack for automation of things that you would do with your subscriptions with Azure, various things that you would do in the Azure environment, and then encapsulate those as runbooks. So one of the scenarios that we've brought to life is this notion of the scalable multi-VM tenant services that we term as a VM tier. And this gives you the ability as a tenant to not just work on a single VM, but work in a tier of VMs that act as a single resource. So an administrator says, I'm going to make available to you this VM and offer it to you as a tier. So say you have a SharePoint tier that's been allowed for you to use as a tenant. You can create an instance of that. It'll create that tier for you, and it'll let you operate that whole tier as a single entity. So for example, you want to scale that tier up to X number of instances. In the keynote demo, you saw Claire Henry demonstrating this for you with a VM role for a IIS workload. That's something we've heavily invested in this release that empowers the tenant to operate it as in terms of VM tiers. So admin publishes that gallery. The gallery items are used, and you can configure what type of instances and how many you want, and then manage those at runtime as you're working through the system, all from within a self-service environment. So personal productivity for the self-service consumer is the high-order item for this particular area. In terms of application performance monitoring, we had deep application insight for .NET applications in System Center 2012 SP1. We've added that for Java in this release. And this gives us the deep ability to monitor application health rather than just operational health as Operations Manager typically does. And this is all integrated into the Operations Manager console. We've also integrated deeply with the developers' tools that we have in this release by providing deep integration with Visual Studio, where you have the ability to identify issues in Operations Manager, trace back to Visual Studio specific to the line of code where there's a problem that exists, act on that, remediate that, and then reduce this encumbrance of time that takes place in terms of developers collaborating with the operations folks, and add a deep app debugging with Microsoft's monitoring agent here. So that whole DevOps lifecycle that spans people, process, and systems is really taken care of efficiently with this integration that we've done. When you create applications, you also want to you want to take a look at how those are behaving in the production environment. In that particular scenario, we've created the service, an Azure service called the Global Service Monitor, that has various points of presence around the world that can inject synthetic transitions into your sites, and you can use that to monitor how your site is doing, and then what sort of operational metrics are there as a result of that site being hit from multiple locations. So in terms of application insight, for your applications, we've created the ability within Operations Manager to discover what those application dependencies are, monitor what's happening, and when something is wrong, isolate the root cause down to the level of a specific line of code inside Visual Studio so you can take care of that overall. In terms of infrastructure monitoring, we've added a lot of monitoring support for both Windows Server, various Linux distros in this release. We've created a whole range of functionality in terms of network monitoring and cloud infrastructure. And we've also created a service that has best practices that we've learned over time from our service called System Center Advisor. And you have a way of referencing that inside Operations Manager so you can evaluate best practices in a proactive manner before they become issues in your infrastructure. That's also something that we've invested in this release. Okay, so let's go to the second part of our presentation today, which is really about all the things that we have done in System Center along with Windows and Windows Azure to make sure that what comes to life are a whole range of scenarios that address the needs of taking your private cloud infrastructure, making it seem as if there's no virtual difference between what you do in your private cloud to what you have in your hosted cloud, as well as what you have in Azure, in a very, very consistent look, feel, and behavior standpoint, so that this fidelity exists between the entire Microsoft Federation of Clouds. In order to do this, we said we have to have a single consistent way in which this cloud stack that is that we've created in with these three products operates across the three clouds. So if you look at the diagram, in Microsoft Azure, in Windows Azure, we have this capability in the public cloud that says we can create high-density websites, we can create virtual machine capability, we have service bus, all in the public cloud with a whole range of additional services. And then you get access to that when you subscribe to Azure, and then you have a portal experience that you interact with as subscribers to Azure. Now, Azure behind the covers has a whole range of administrative experience that it takes to run that whole public cloud. We said, look, there's really no difference when you want to offer services to subscribers, whether it's the public, private, or hosted clouds. The same situation in a hoster is, you know, a hoster is going to host a set of services that various tenants are going to subscribe to, and then those are the service consumers to the hosted cloud services. Within the enterprise, the same analogy is, you know, you are an IT department. You are creating a set of services that are for consumption across the different business units you have within your enterprise. And you have needs to, you know, maybe burst out to cloud providers, you know, for the various other services that you want to get out of your IT infrastructure. So we said that same look and feel we're going to take and we're going to replicate it for a hosted cloud. We're going to take that same Azure consistent experience and then create that experience for the enterprise as well, if you're dealing with this set of services that you want to roll out to your tenants, whether they're in the enterprise or in a hosted situation. So to do that, we've had to create a service management portal. And the portal takes care of things like, you know, what do you do to wrap services for your different business units if you're an enterprise? Or what do you do if you want to take a set of services like virtual machines, high-density websites, service bus, and any other third-party services and make them as valuable offers that your tenants will subscribe to if you're a service provider? So that same consistency that you have in Azure, we've replicated for Windows Server with System Center with the Windows Azure Pack across the different clouds. Does that make sense? So what is this whole infrastructure for data for the service provider that you need? It's powered by System Center, Windows, and the Windows Azure Pack. And the types of, and this stack with the constituent components is what we're showing here. It's Hyper-V, Windows Server, the Service Provider Foundation, Virtual Machine Manager, Service Management Automation, and Operations Manager. All put together. Now, the thing that System Center users will recognize is that, you know, historically, the System Center suite of products has been, you know, typically siloed within their own specific domains. The big change in System Center 2012 SP1 and what we're doing now in R2 is this integrated innovation with respect to all these components. And you've told us that scenarios are what we would like to see rather than specific feature adds that you have in each of the individual products. So that's precisely what we've sought out to deliver in 2012 R2. And so let's take the two broad constituents that use this infrastructure. First are the service consumers. What do? They want to go to a self-service environment, and they want to consume cloud services. They want to have a self-service experience. They want to build and deploy applications. They want to manage those applications, also from a self-service perspective. And they pay for the services that they've used from the service providers. What are some of these services? You know, so what we've done in 2012 R2 is we have the ability for you to consume websites, build highly scalable websites very, very easily, integrate it with source code control systems, manage those applications and see how they are doing, what kind of hits they're getting, all the operational aspects of managing and maintaining those high-density websites, and use the languages of your choice as you construct these sites. This is the self-service experience of a tenant user for the website's capability that we have in Windows Server and System Center. There you can see how many hits are happening, how much of timeouts we've had, all the various aspects with respect to managing that website once you've deployed it. Out of the box, directly with System Center. System Center and the Azure pack. Service bus applications for connectivity between your applications together. Guaranteed message delivery, message queues, etc. All the things in terms of transporting data between applications over multiple standard protocols, interoperability with .NET Java. All of this capability is given to you, again, as another service that you can consume as a tenant directly out of the box. Again, very consistent Azure look and feel with this whole experience. Virtual machines. The virtual machine capability, virtual machines, virtual machine tiers, right? Working with all of that in a portal environment, again, from a consumer standpoint. We built this atop of System Center 2012 R2 with the Service Provider Foundation as well as Virtual Machine Manager. So again, this is what it looks like. And I'd like to actually call up, let me move past this slide, and we'll get back to it. I'd like to call up Mark Umeno, who's going to take us through a demonstration of the self-service tenant experience in 2012.
All right. Let's see this one. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. Thanks, Together. So, everybody saw the keynote demo this morning where we showed the virtual machine role, and Claire Henry went up and explained a little bit about the new capabilities around there. So what I'm going to do is talk about some additional things and maybe go through that demo a little bit as well. So first of all, Nagender slipped over the slide, so I'll just mention it, is that in this version of the Windows Azure pack, there's now Active Directory integration that was specifically added for the enterprise in mind, right? We knew that needed to be there. And we also, in addition, have federation, actually. So with powered by ADFS, we can now federate with something like the Microsoft Identity Store. And so what we've done is, here in this demo, I'm actually federated with Microsoft IT, and I can log in with my Microsoft identity. Oh, I typed in the wrong password. Sorry about that. There it goes. Okay. So first, for a second, it hits ADFS. It comes back. checks with Microsoft, and it's coming back and letting me on. Taking a second there. Okay, so now it's loading the portal with my Mark Emeto credentials at Microsoft here up here in the upper right. Now it's loading services from each of the services, whether it's websites, SQL servers, or virtual machines. Okay, so down here again, you see that I have a mixture of virtual machines, some of which were created from virtual machine templates. So it's the familiar technology that we've been using in Virtual Machine Manager for many releases, right? And I've created a VM from those, and we retain the capability for you to use your existing templates in this portal. We also have this new scalable virtual machine role, right? And I'll show you again and talk maybe a few more details, add a few more details that weren't really covered in the morning session. So I can type in, see a standalone virtual machine or virtual machine role. Standalone virtual machines from virtual machine templates. Virtual machine role from gallery items. You can see here I have a list of gallery items that were provided to me in my subscription and my offered in a plan. I think John will cover that in a little bit later in a later demo. But the admin picks which ones I see based upon my role. And then that list is filtered using RBAC in VMM and SPF to show me this list. Okay, this is the gallery item that we use in the morning, so I'll keep going with that one. Okay. So I log in, I pick a version. Again, multiple versions are available. So I have two separate gallery items that back that, and I can pick which subscription to create them under and click Next. Here, I can pick an instance count. So think about that, right? Again, it's not a single VM, it's a tier of VMs. It's a different kind of capability. The one interesting thing about these virtual machine roles is they have two pieces. They have a piece that's about the VM container, and a piece that's about the application install, okay? And then basically you first declare how you want your virtual machine to be, and you declare how you want the app to install inside of that virtual machine. Down here it's still, okay, so one thing that's interesting is that if you look at these sizes, these are consistent with the size categories that are available in Windows Azure. So we have extra small through extra large here. And it has a certain number of cores and memory associated with that. But those are configurable by you as the VMM admin. So you can have it be whatever size your organization wants to use. Down here in the OS hard disk, what's very interesting is that unlike other templates before, these are loosely coupled with images that are available in Virtual Machine Manager so that you can take these artifacts and deploy them to a private cloud, at your data center, at a service provider, or sometime in the future, other things like Azure. Okay. I can pick network as well. And then I supply some credentials here. And then, and we also have UI validation in the, so that if you don't fill out a strong password, then it fails it to you. Okay, and then here you see that those were the VM instructions, and now here are the application instructions. So here I'm actually deploying an IIS website into, first I'm enabling IIS role, and then I'm deploying an IIS website into that VM, right, on the application side. So in this case, I can pick my site name, application pool, and port. And that create, after I fill that out, I hit the box, and it goes and creates a virtual machine role through the service through the service provider foundation API and inside of Virtual Machine Manager. If you look at one that's already been running, here, you see you get an overview page. I get a view into the usage. So down here, you'll see that this particular virtual machine role uses the amounts in green that are against my subscription. against my quota, excuse me, in my subscription. And the dark gray bar says how much my other VMs in my subscription are using, and then the light gray is the total. Right, I have some information about the devices. If I click down into here, you can see that I can see that there's two VMs on this one. I can click through that and get information about an individual virtual machine. I get its IP address, some attached devices. I get this familiar controls of controlling a VM like you could before. Over here on scale, as you saw, it's very easy to scale. And then if I hit save, it goes and applies. In this case, if I wanted to scale from 2 to 4, I scale it up, hit save. But the range is controlled by the IT department. It says it will allow you to provision for this particular virtual machine role 1 to 5 VMs only. Okay, and one more thing is on the configure tab, it actually captured the settings that I typed into the wizard, and I can apply a change. Like, say I want to change the network, I can just change it here on the configuration, hit save, and it'll apply the change, all while retaining the VMs in a persistent way. So if you have, say, multiple VMs and you want to change them across multiple things, it will actually apply them in sequence so that you'll never take your app down while they're running. Okay, so that's a virtual machine role. Okay? Now, a thing that we haven't covered before is, now that I have my compute, how do I connect that, say, if it's running at a host or data center? So in this version of the Windows Azure pack, we now have the capability for a user to create a self-service network. So here, I'll just pick a network name. And I can choose to create a connection between the hoster, this, say, VM running at a service provider, back onto an on-premise by configuring a site-to-site VPN connection. I can give it my on-site DNS server, something like that. And there's some other capabilities that will be, you know, you can see in later sessions this week. I can provide my IP address space for my application. And then I can provide information about the VPN at my company. So to create a site-to-site VPN, you need a hoster endpoint, VPN endpoint, and then you need the other end on the enterprise side. Virtual Machine Mentor auto-generates the hoster VPN endpoint, and now you just need to configure the one on the tenant side. So I can just fill in some address. And just add these things. I provide the address space I want routed to this endpoint from the service provider, and then I click this box and it creates me a network. It'll take a few minutes, so we'll just skip that. So you've seen now compute capabilities, new compute capabilities, new networking capabilities, and that is very similar to the compute and networking capabilities that you would find today in the public cloud, and now you as a provider can provide that to your customers. Okay, so there's one more thing I want to show. So we've gotten feedback that when your virtual machines are running at a service provider, that sometimes it's very difficult to get to them over remote desktop. So we can imagine, like, you put a VM up at a hoster, and for some reason it doesn't boot, or maybe it's a Linux VM and it doesn't have the RDP support. And if it was running in your data center, you can get to it by, you know, creating some kind of account that you can log in to the host and then do console connect, you know, through the VM console or something like that, some on-premise trusted network. But over the internet, you can't do that. So in this release, we added this capability where you can actually connect to the console using the remote desktop protocol and a secure remote desktop gateway. So if I go down here, you can see I have a Linux box, and I can see here that there is no RDP prompt, but there is a console prompt. So I can click on the console prompt, click this box. It downloads an RDP file to my client, and then I can hit connect. And now I'm in, and I'm remote console connected to the host that's running that VM without using remote desktop protocol. Okay? I mean, without remote desktop connecting to the guest OS. Okay, so it's coming in through the host. Okay? Now, that was Linux. Okay, but I hopefully would have some Windows Server fans here. So, see, on this one, on this machine, if you go over here to configure, you see that I don't even have a network on this device. There's no NICs at all on this VM. And actually, there's no operating system either. So if I go, but I still have that console connect. So if I go here, click the box, download the RDP file, hit OK. Now I can get to a VM that doesn't even have an OS on it. I can go in and click in here and install, change some of these settings. But I can go and install an OS even on a VM that has no OS installed. Okay, so that's an exciting new capability for those of you that are looking for console connect instead of just remote desktop.
Thanks, Mark. We saw the service consumer experience, and that again is, you know, very similar to the it's an Azure consistent experience and so on. What about the service providers? These are the folks, whether they're living inside the enterprise and own a private cloud that needs to roll out services to your business units, or whether you're a service provider. Can you hear me? Whether you're at a service provider that needs to roll out 10 services for your tenants, this is, you know, we should look at this sort of in an identical manner. So you provide cloud services, you deploy shared resources, you create offers for your tenants. You want to make sure that you're cost efficient and you want to charge for the services that your tenants have used. So these are all sort of the overall top-level types of things that service providers would do. What's the first thing they care about? They care about managing their users and creating subscriptions and creating plans and all of these services for their tenants. That's the first order of business. You want to maintain, attract your tenant base. What are the different types of services that we're providing out of the box in System Center 2012 R2 and the Windows Azure Pack? The ability to create virtual machines, websites, service bus clouds, and third-party integrated services that can go into the standard suite of services that you can offer to your tenants. And we have the ability to create these artifacts called plans. A plan is a container for an encapsulation of multiple of these elemental service types that you can roll for your customized offers that you make to your tenants. So creating subscriptions, attracting tenants, creating value-added services for them. So this here is a depiction of the service management portal that comes out of the box. And we're going to see a demo of that very shortly, so I'm going to move on fairly quickly. You have to have the ability to monitor what's happening with the services that you're providing, whether they are compute services, whether they are website services, whether they're third-party services, any of those services, both from the aspect of, you know, allocation-based billing as well as utilization-based billing. We support both of those types of capabilities and the ability to go to other IT financial management solutions from the various billing services that we provide. We built a data warehouse for this, analytics on tenant subscription, and also how you're complying with the licensing requirements of the software that you have. The other big thing is you want to make sure that your service administrators of the site, of the portal, are able to be very, very productive in terms of the things that they do for the infrastructure. And for that to happen, the more degree of automation you have in your enterprise, the better it is. So we have a cloud-enabled automation engine based on PowerShell workflow that we've integrated deeply into the service administration portal that lets you encapsulate these PowerShell-based activities into workflows that we call runbooks. And we'll provide a whole bunch of out-of-box runbooks for the service administrator, the ability for you to create your own PowerShell activities and create them as part of runbooks. And we will let you automate all the things that you want to automate and then set into operation on this cloud stack that we've created. So you'll see a part of that also in the demo. So I'm going to call up John Ballard. I'll come back to this slide. John, come on up. John's going to come and show us all aspects of the service administration portal.
Thank you, Nagender. Yes. Everybody hear me okay? Good. All right. So Nagender talked a lot about Azure consistent experiences, and Mark showed you some of that. And you saw a portal that looked a lot like Azure. When you think about the CloudOS vision, the part of it that doesn't live in Azure, mainly the other two-thirds, the part that's either in the service provider and the enterprise on-premise, for that stuff, we needed to create this administrative experience. And that's kind of unique. You know, in the case of Azure, that administrative experience is kind of behind the scenes, the creation of plans and that sort of thing. So what you see here is the administrative portal. And I want to take you on a quick tour of the capabilities that essentially enabled the experience that you saw Mark have a minute ago. Before I kind of dive in and take you through a tour of this in the time that I have, I wanted to give you just a bit of additional context to give you an idea of what I think about as a service administrator. My main job is I'm essentially that last touch point before the tenants come in and serve themselves. And so I have a few very basic things that I think about pretty much all the time. Number one, I want to attract and retain users. Their usage is my revenue, and so I want to do what I can to bring them in and keep them on board as loyal customers. Number two, I want to build compelling offers. Certainly the offers that I make available have a lot to do with number one, how I bring tenants in and retain them over time. But I can also think of offer management as a way to balance my margin profile a little bit. I can have offers that are free as a way to hook people. I can have offers that are expensive and loaded with value as a way to get them to pay me more money. And so I kind of balance that as I go. Number three, I want to maintain capacity. It's very important for me to think about my capacity at all times. If I have a cloud that is becoming saturated, the last thing I want to do is go create a really wildly popular offer on that cloud, because it'll have a bad experience for the end users and it'll give our fabric team some headaches. Conversely, I don't want to have too much capacity because then I'm wasting money. So I have to kind of think about how I balance that. And then finally, I need to be efficient. You know, I don't know exactly what the statistics are, but anecdotally in the 50% range of service provider costs can be attributed to labor associated with engineering and operations. And so at the very least, I represent a significant piece of cost for my business. And so anything I can do to be more efficient is going to help that out. All right, so let's dive in, and I'll kind of quickly take you through each of those four things: tenants, offers, capacity, and efficiency. Start out by taking a look at tenants. And in this environment, let me just dismiss that. I want to actually call your attention to a couple things before I go too far on this. If you look at Mark's portal just a minute ago, and I'll try not to jump around too much here, you'll notice that, come on, there we are. You'll notice that the stuff that he has access to in the nav pane is essentially scoped by whatever his subscription happens to be. If you pop over to the administrator portal, on the other hand, you'll see I have a much richer set of things available to me. So Mark, for example, didn't have the service bus clouds item in his list of stuff. And that's because his subscription, at least in that particular subscription that he was operating within, did not have a service bus component to it. And I can show you how we can kind of do archaeology on some of that stuff. So if I go take a look at the, hang on one second. Sorry, I may have to refresh this. This was working just fine. It was idle for about an hour, so it'd probably be okay here. I think I can get back into it now. Yep. Okay, great. It's going to work now. All right, so I can go in and I can look at users, and I can see I've got a bunch of them. That's great. Let's take a look at Mark. Where is he here? Mark Umeno. Is it Mark U or Mark Umeno? I think it was probably Mark U, wasn't it? Oh, it's the... Okay, yeah. If I dig into Mark's account, actually, even just at this level, I can select Mark's account, and if I'm just really irritated by Mark and he's been driving me nuts for whatever reason, not paying his bill, I can delete him right now. Just brute force, get rid of him. So, that, you know, you can see I've got some broad stroke actions I can do here, and I can also suspend him if I feel like I want to punish him in some way, but I'm going to go easy on him this time. So I can, and again, think about my role. My role is to make sure my offers get published, people consume them, they pay on time, and we're running a healthy and profitable business. And so there's some basic things I can do at that level. I can also create subscriptions for Mark, certainly, and that's the flip side. If I want to reward Mark for some loyalty, I can throw him a bone and give him a subscription to something that nobody else even knows about. So I can kind of manage some of his content that way. If I drill into him a little bit, I can see the subscriptions that he's already selected for himself, and I can take a look at any of those. As it turns out, you can see here in this column called Plan, he has two different subscriptions to the same plan. So we'll have a look at this Platinum plan in just a second. And again, I can add a subscription at this level as well. A little bit of a mouse problem here, sorry. There we go. Okay, if I drill into any of the subscriptions, I get a bunch of different stuff available to me at this level. I can see dashboard that'll tell me a little bit about how much he's using that particular subscription. And you'll begin to see the kind of consistent metaphor for usage as a bunch of bar representations shown here. Looking at this one, I see he's not using much at all. So the fact that he hasn't paid his bill maybe doesn't bother me so much. But as a good service administrator, I'll kind of take a look across all this stuff. And by the way, there's a whole session on usage, and if you can't get to it, you should try to loop back and watch the recording of it at some other time. One of the things that's pretty interesting here is I can also add administrators to be co-administrators with Mark on this particular subscription. And this sets up basically, fairly obviously, for the situation where project teams are sharing a subscription and anybody on the project is considered valid to come in and work on the thing. So now let's jump out and take a look at, that was how I manage users and their subscriptions. Now let's take a look at what they access when they sign in. And that's this thing called a plan. Just to really quickly explain a plan, I think you guys probably even get this already, but I typically draw an analogy to a cell phone plan. Data, text, and voice. In this particular case, VMs, websites, networking, but essentially the same concept, an offer container. And my job as a service administrator is to create these things and make them exciting for people. I'm going to go ahead and take a look at the Platinum plan that Mark subscribed to just to have a look at what's in it and in the interest of time. And you can see here that, sure enough, he's got websites, virtual machines, and SQL servers and no service bus, and that explains why he didn't see it in his particular view. Any of the service types comes with its own configuration and management experience. The big long list of services that I have shown off on the left with websites, SQL, service bus, virtual machines, all that stuff, that's kind of the out-of-box set of services you could think of. It's an open framework, so anybody that wants to build their own service can add it to this framework and then implement the management experience and the configuration experience that goes with it. So when you drill into, let's say, the virtual machines component of a cloud, and I think some of you have seen this already, there's a way for me to essentially control the quotas and usage of this particular resource type. And I can mess with this stuff all I want. I can use everything available, change the quotas to some specific number as we had there. I'll just back out of this. And when you think about the contents of the plan, especially in this particular case of the VM clouds, it has the kind of stuff you might expect. Networks that you're allowed to use, quotas on that as well. Templates that we make available, and that's both old school virtual machine manager kind of templates as well as the hardware profiles that go with those, and then also the gallery items that you saw Mark access. When Mark created a virtual machine role for an IIS role, he was using that particular one right there, the Windows Server 2012 version 1.000. So he basically had what amounts to a glorified template that he was able to create a scalable tier from, and that's kind of a cool thing. Plan creation itself is relatively straightforward. It's simply a matter of naming the thing and then deciding what services go in it. And you know, you can select any or all of these. And again, if any third-party services had been registered in the portal, those would also show up here. And you could select those as well. And then that's really it. Once you've created the plan, the creation itself takes no time at all. And the more interesting aspect of the plan is the stuff I just showed you, where you go in and configure the different pieces of it. So now, that's users, and that's offers to users. Now let's talk a little bit about capacity. One of the things you'll see as kind of a consistent metaphor throughout this portal is the ability to look at any given service provider type and see clouds. So I click on Service Bus, I see a Service Bus cloud, I can drill into it, and I can take configuration actions on the thing. I can find out what databases are backing this, and that pretty much that same kind of navigational experience pertains across the portal. And so if I go to the website's clouds, again, I see another cloud that in this case hosts websites, and I can drill into it also. And again, as fairly consistent, I see a dashboard. Now, in this particular case, the dashboard is empty because nobody's deployed any websites on this particular cloud yet, but you get the basic idea. And then, of course, across the management range of things I might need to do to configure. And that's why every provider has to bring its own configuration experience. Each service is going to be different or unique unto itself, you might think of it as, and that would have to have a set of configuration items that are specific to that kind of service. And again, if you look at the VM Clouds node, you see the same thing again. We show clouds. In this particular case, the clouds are grouped by the VMM server on which those clouds live. And you can also see here, just from the naming conventions, a piece of evangelism that we like to do that asserts that a cloud is really an embodiment of a set of capabilities at some level of capacity. And if you think about that as in an abstract sense, that really speaks quality of service. You know, if thing is chock full of capabilities and a ton of capacity, that's going to be a more expensive cloud to operate and therefore subscribe to than something that's done on commodity hardware with very little capacity. And so you can start to think about how you might carve up your data center in that way. And again, I can drill into any of the clouds, and I can look at usage data. And this is probably the point I'm trying to make around capacity. I, as the plan author, I'm creating offers for people. I need to be able to come in here and see what has room to hold the next offer before I go actually create it. And it's a comprehensive thing. You could almost think of a quick tour through all of the dashboards as a way to kind of prepare for the next plan you're going to create. The last thing that I want to point out to you, I'm going to save some of this for tomorrow. Oh, by the way, just a shameless plug, on Wednesday at 3:15 to 4:30, my colleague Eamon O'Reilly and I are going to spend an entire hour on this portal. He's Mr. Automation, and I'll kind of come back through some of this and bring a little more detail, so you should catch that if you have the time. The rest of the administrative functions available in the virtual machine cloud space are really kind of optimized around a couple of different things I might do as a service administrator. Obviously, I mentioned how I look at clouds and view capacity. I can also dive into tenant-created VMs and networks and essentially do some lightweight debugging for the scenario where a tenant has a problem and they need me to help them figure out what that problem is. So by my ability to look for machines and networks, I can debug some of those things. I want to finish, however, on this automation tab, because I talked about the four things being users, offers, capacity, and efficiency. One of the things we've done in this portal is wired up a bunch of automation for efficiency's sake. Now, Nagender actually threw a bone to integration as a big key thing that you get out of automation. And frankly, automation is valuable for any number of reasons. Efficiency, repeatability. In this particular case, you could think about somebody at muchspace.com standing up this particular Microsoft stack and portal. And they know that they've got a bunch of investments in other things already. They already have a billing system. They already have a sign-up experience. They already have a ticketing system. In our particular case, we want to stand up this new stack and make it available to people, but we want to integrate with all that stuff that we've already got running. Oops, sorry. So we created this mechanism whereby you can essentially attach to any event of this portal and hook a piece of automation to it. So let's say that when a VM gets created, is there a pause? Actually, hang on a second, I got a better one. Let's do this. Let's do a VMM virtual machine delete, create ticket. So now what I've done is I've essentially said that when when somebody creates a virtual machine, or sorry, when somebody deletes a virtual machine, when the delete action is detected against the virtual machine, what I want to do is I want to kick off this runbook I've got called Create Ticket. And this, you can imagine that the scenario here is relatively straightforward. I've got a ticketing system I want to integrate with, and I'm trying to make things that happen in this portal wire up to my ticketing system. And when that fires off, what we'll do under the covers is take all the contextual data that we have from the call into VMM, we'll feed that into the runbook that you've indicated here, and then you can do whatever logic suits your fancy from an integration, efficiency, or repeatability perspective. I'm not going to dive into it deeply right now. I just want to wrap up by pointing out that there is a gallery management experience here as well. When I'm pulling gallery items into a plan to make them available to Mark, upstream of that, I've come here and I've curated this gallery of items. And the way you do that, you could generally think of these as being from software vendors of a variety of stripes. Some of them come from Microsoft, and some of them come from somewhere else. I get them, I bring them into this environment, and I upload and publish them. And you can see I've got a couple different versions of that IIS Windows Server web role here. I can look at them, and I can see information, metadata about this particular thing, find out who its publisher is and that sort of thing. And most importantly, I have the ability here to push the item out to the plans that have already been created. Because you could imagine, in a busy environment, I might create 50, even 100 plans over some period of time, and then I find the really killer gallery item that I need to make available to everybody. I don't want to have to go back and edit 100 plans, so I need to be able to essentially push from the gallery item. And this kind of shows you how important we think this VM role concept is for really rich content around the tenant experience. And I think with that, I'll turn it back over to Nagender. Thank you.
Very good. Thanks, John. I just want to go back to one slide that I missed before. You know, we saw a whole range of services for tenants. We saw what we put together in terms of this integrated innovation on top of all this functionality to provide a service administration portal experience. To really realize what this takes to build, you know, you really go from Windows Server, System Center, the Service Provider Foundation API, the Service Management API to realize those capabilities that you surface inside a portal. You know, this is a whole range of different teams, et cetera, talking to each other, as well as, you know, us going up and down the stack to realize these kinds of scenarios. You know, I can't tell you enough about how much I've heard, you know, Microsoft groups not talking to each other, all this kind of feedback that we get from customers. This is a true example of where we said, we will not release these scenarios that surface to the end users until everything inside the stack is done right, is done with a good degree of handshaking, and we can build these scenarios so they can surface in their entirety. Otherwise, we won't even ship those scenarios. So it's a complex sort of thing for us to solve, but this is a, you know, building a cloud stack is not easy. And we want to make that task easy for you, irrespective, again, like I said before, of which cloud you're operating in. So, so I want to end with basically saying, you know, there's a great degree of innovation that has come in terms of all this functionality that we put together in the stack, both for the service provider, whether that service provider lives inside a true hoster or they're in a enterprise infrastructure in an IT organization in the enterprise, or you're working with Azure. So the key takeaways is there's a lot of value add that's in all the System Center individual components that I wasn't able to cover in this overview deck. Please go to those sessions. We talked about all these scenarios that are all about the integration and this cloud OS vision coming to fruition. There's cloud OS consistency across all these different clouds. We built this cloud-enabled stack and made sure that whatever we've learned in the public cloud in Azure that is applicable to the hosted and private enterprise clouds, we've taken all that learning. And then that's not to say that all the learnings that we have from our foothold in the enterprise, with System Center and Windows, et cetera, that doesn't go to Azure in the future. In fact, some of that you saw with this with respect to virtual machine role, which was a feature that came into this release. So it's all about leveraging your existing environment that you know with System Center and Windows, and then taking it to the next level to cloud optimize this anything that you would do across this whole cloud ether that we have. And that's, in a nutshell, sort of the big investment that we made in this particular release. So simultaneous releases, integrated innovation, cloud-enabled stack, service provider, administration portal, plus a whole range of scenarios that take from Azure, put it on-prem, give it to our Windows and System Center customers. Does that make sense? That's all I had. There's a whole range of additional sessions that I encourage you to attend during this week. And thank you very much.